Really? You're gonna send me the message right now? Oh my god. Poor Greg.
Hello and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Overseas Connection podcast. This is Robin Tate here, Bongo the Sicilian in Northern Ireland. And welcome to episode 356 for February the 6th in 2016. We have a full, wonderful cast this evening, but we don't have Greg DeLacy once again because, well, as the notes on my screen now say, he's on his deathbed. Prayers towards Los Angeles direction, please. His whole family is still down, and we've sent out some St. Bernards with flasks around their necks with whiskey and brandy in them to try and make them recover. Look, Greg and your family, please get better soon. I have a full, wonderful load of folk to speak tonight. I've got Nicole in there. Hello, Nicole.
Hello.
I've got Fraser in there. Hello.
Hello. Hello, yeah. Robin.
So yeah,
how
this
exciting
is
it is to be this here again, yeah, with you at the helm. It's like we went out last week, and as if that wasn't as horrifying enough, we're back for more.
I mean, you're the only man in the world that I would get out of bed for. So there you go.
Yes.
Nicole, you've had a hard old day, but a really good day.
Yes, yes.
What happened to you today, Nicole?
What didn't? I actually got up nice and early this morning. Yay me. It's my mother's 70th birthday. So
yay, mother.
I know. We can't believe she made it that far. No, I'm just kidding.
God.
I'm just kidding. I actually had to ride on a merry-go-round with her. That was what she wanted to do. So that's what we did. A little carousel. But, and then my truck decided to die on the way home. Lost the alternator belt, lost the power steering because the alternator belt went out. Radiator started leaking and smoking. Thank you very much, because it was all hot up inside the engine. And I got the truck into the garage right at the very last stinking second.
Oh, so. Goodness. Well, that was lucky, because you could have been stuck out there waiting for an AA man to come. Or
I don't have those.
Guys have.
No, we have AAA. It's AAA, but I don't have it. Yeah.
Typical America. One extra AA.
Yeah, one extra AA.
Yeah, that's the Canadian one. It's AAA.
AAA. Well, I'm glad your mum and yourselves had a nice day. I think it was a big family get together, was it? Or was it just a nice little?
It was quiet. My father's still in the hospital. So, yeah. So, dad's still in the hospital. He's now in rehab. So, they're trying to reteach him to walk and use his muscles again. And then, so it was just me and my mom because this weekend, my ex has the kids. So I didn't get to borrow the kids for that either. And apparently our names are all mixed up, so Greg needs to check on that.
Ah, well, that's okay. Well, I mean, you can be me and I can be Fraser and vice versa tonight. That would be...
It works fine.
Yeah, I'll get my moobs out and we'll be fine.
Your boobs?
Fraser, what have you been up to, sir, this week? Have you done anything weird or wonderful?
Busy week, Robin. Normal busy week at work. But I'll tell you what I did do today, which was interesting if you're that way inclined, is I went to, I don't know if you have these shops down in the States, Lee Valley, Nick?
No, never heard of that.
They sort of like sell woodworking. They're like, if you're into hobby woodworking or...
You just go to Hobby Town.
It's like a hobby, yeah, but it's like really sort of like the best of the best tools and things like that. And I always wanted to go into this shop.
AAA.
And I'd always wanted to go in there. So we went in there today, and they had in their saw stop tables, which are these circular saw tables, right?
Ooh.
But they have built into them this mechanism that this guy invented a few years ago, which is if your finger touches the blade, it automatically hits this thing that punches out and grabs the blade and whatever and does this huge bang, but it saves your finger, right?
Yep.
And it happens so quickly
yep.
that It's just amazing. And I've watched loads of YouTube videos on it before and just thought, that is really cool. And they've got slow motion of grabbing the blade. And they did a demonstration. They had one, there you go, demonstration at 2. And we were there at 2:15. So I waited and I just saw this guy do it. It was amazing. Really cool.
Goodness. I wish I had that, mate.
Then I asked him how much the tables were and I walked out.
Years ago, my father in his working life, he drove a fuel tanker for a company called Esso, I think it's Exxon in the States, for a long time. But before that, he was a carpenter, a joiner.
My father, before I was born, had a
stub. His middle. Oh, I'm a little Skypey.
Is it me, Nick? Or is it you?
Probably
you're very Skypey.
Probably me.
No, it says I'm fine. Can you hear me now?
Yes. No, that yes. Dawn on me. I can see you and the picture of Greg, and I can see me.
But
there's Fraser.
Okay, so.
Sorry, so I didn't hear any of that story there, Robin. But I can
okay,
hear
so yeah, so my father has a stub or had a stub when he was alive, and when he was a petrol tanker driver for many years. But before that, he was a carpenter, and. He lost his middle finger with a circular saw when he was a young man.
Well, I tell you what, if he had one of these.
Yeah, if he had those.
They said, I said to the guy, how many replacement mechanisms have you had to sell? And he says, well, we've had to replace about 5. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, he goes, well, that's 5 people who have fingers that wouldn't, you know.
True.
And he said he had one guy who came in and he said the guy said to him, the saw blade popped. And disappeared and pulled under the table and was gone. He said, and I looked around. My fingers were fine. He said he couldn't see anything wrong. And then he looked at his hand, and he had a slight mark going down the palm of his hand. And this guy said if it wasn't for that saw, he would have basically just sliced his whole hand in half.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's a nice piece of kit. Very, very interesting to see. So a little bit nerdy if you're that way inclined, but I am. So there you go.
See, my father does carpentry, so he's inclined.
Yeah. See, my problem is I buy these things, but I use them once and never go back to it again. I just, you know, I've got a garage full of stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. Yeah, I know.
Those things, you know, the jet wash.
I need to make my millions and retire so I can do it, you know, all day, every day. But one day.
Well, there you go. Yeah, well, I've had a hell of a week too. Just unbelievably busy work-wise. Just to the point where I need 3 or 4 of me. So, when Friday night came around and the phone stopped ringing, it was just lovely to get there and a bit of R&R and some games and bits and pieces is where you can, as we are. That's what it is. Mature gamers, you game when you can and when you can actually fit it in.
We were tech fault finding last night, weren't we?
We were indeed. We were trying to get around some things that we thought we'd created ourselves by being super... circumventing the game sharing thing. One nice gaming thing that I organized this evening was I booked some flights and I've booked some tickets to go to Resd in London in Tobacco Dock. And that's on, I think it's the 7th, 8th and 9th of April. I'm going to take my youngest, Charlie. I'm going to fly in for the day and go to Resd. So if you just happen to be in London and going to Resd, make sure you hook up with me. Give me a shout at Bongo the Sane, and we'll go and see some games together and play some good stuff. I think Resd is getting bigger. I think there's lots more mainstreamy sort of games at it rather than just indie stuff this time.
I don't really know anything about it, I'm afraid.
It's sort of an indie. It was an indie show. I went to it a year before last up in Birmingham, and it was pretty good. I mean, there was lots of Xbox, PlayStation stuff, but it was focused on indie titles. But I'm looking at the games roster. I think there's 300-odd new titles and games to look at in the show. So, and it'll be a good experience for Charlie Bop. And he'll probably have his GoPro stuck on his head for the whole trip. And we'll... Charlie Bop, if you go and look for Charlie Gaming, my 10-year-old has his own YouTube channel. And
Is he going to record at Res for his channel?
Most likely. Hello, it's Charlie Bop here. In this lovely little... Northern Ireland voice. Anyway, this is a gaming podcast, and we try to talk about games that we've got up to, things that we've had, a bit of news, bit of competitions, and let's get started. Nicole, what have you been up to this week in your gaming life?
Did a little of the beta.
I did a little, little. What was that?
Said I did a little of the beta. Do you not speak English?
I did a little.
That's not what I said. I did a little of the beta, division beta.
Oh my God. You're Irish there for a second. I did a little.
80% apparently Irish. So.
Oh dear.
No, I don't know. I don't remember what the stupid paper division said. Yeah, okay. But played a little bit. Just leave me alone.
Little.
I can't say that word any different. There's a bunch of words I don't say proper. So, played some of the beta. Is that better? Or the division?
Yeah, it's a beta. Yeah.
It was good, actually. I was impressed. I didn't go very far, but I liked what I did play, and it was the graphics astounding. So that's definitely on my to buy list. But
Mark was raving about it last week. Fraser, did you get in and done some this week? I think
I did. I got in and played with Greg and Mark, and I thought it was pretty cool. Bless Mark. He gets very enthusiastic. Game of the year. I thought it was all right. I mean, it's got some very neat things going on there. Mark did speak quite highly of the Dark Zone, and when you are running around and collecting this stuff and collecting things in the Dark Zone from killing AI that's in there, you can only hold so many things that you collect. They're like, let's just call them loot drops or whatever. But the beauty of it is, as soon as you have to call in a helicopter to come in and get these loot drops, the tension just rises, because now you have this sort of minute that you're waiting for the helicopter to arrive, and that basically signals to everyone in the area that there's someone here. There's someone right there on that rooftop who has stuff that you might want. So
it's like a real life Left for Dead, that last the scenes for Left for Dead before the helicopter came, yeah.
Yeah, but the nice little thing is that other people as well can use the helicopter. So people are coming up on the roof and you're not sure. Like, is he coming up on the roof to get rid of stuff, or is he coming up on the roof to get my stuff? And then it's just this sort of everyone sort of having a little bit of a Mexican standoff up there. It is really good. That was really neat, yeah.
Mm.
He went way down, didn't he? Southern Brothers, Mexican standoff.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, and of course, if someone turns up and they do go rogue and they shoot a person, basically, if you shoot a real person in the game, then you go rogue. I didn't see it, but apparently you get like highlighted red or something like that, so people can know that you're a bad guy.
Oh, wow.
But if you're up on the roof and everybody's doing that and someone goes rogue, well, suddenly then you probably have like 6 or 8 guys who are suddenly going to be on your side, right? Because all of you are suddenly going to go for this one guy who's decided he wants to be a bad guy. That
must be
fun.
Interesting, because there's maybe a pendulum or like a turn there of maybe a couple of bad guys coming up, and they maybe change sides halfway through. They kind of see that they're outnumbered, so they join the other team. It must be an interesting, like,
I don't see why you couldn't. I mean, that's exactly, you know, if you're just playing one time and you fancy being a little bit on the naughty side, then, you know, have at it or whatever. I mean, that was really good. I mean, I played through some of the, I played through one of the story missions with Gary. This is definitely, without a doubt, a game that has to be played with other people.
Yes, boring alone.
Yeah, I played through the first mission, I think, on my own, and it was like, okay, yeah, no, it's all right. And then I played the second mission with Gary, and I noticed in that it was just great. Yeah, he was on one side of the room, I was on the other side. We were just basically just catching enemies in the crossfire and just wiping them out. It was really cool. So, yeah, it's cool.
Okay, so what will you be buying it, Nicole?
I think it's something I would be interested in buying. I'm not going to pay full price for it, so I'm not going to get it day one release. But I don't pay full price anyway. I just can't see spending $60 on a game, no matter how good it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even pay full price for Halo, and you know I love Halo.
Yeah. Robin, because I got the beta code, and did you play it? And then you bought it, right?
I did, so I mean, well, I bought it to make you, because I felt guilty that you
didn't give over. We should have done that.
Yeah, no, I only got to the sort of entrance to the first mission and I stopped. I went through. So I didn't play any more at all this week. So, no, it's there and I'm not. I think with betas as well, with me now, I just like to get a quick flavor and not burn myself out. You know, like Titanfall happened and we played it to death, and then the game, well, I suppose we still played it to death after it did come out anyway. But, or even Destiny, that I maybe played it too much and got my fill. So I'm looking forward to the full release now, so when that comes. Speaking of Destiny, it says duck raids on my screen.
It doesn't say duck.
Oh, sorry, I've got my glasses on. What does that mean?
That means I also played Destiny this week. And the crew I was with, they are very, very knowledgeable. I am not saying anything bad about them because they are very patient people. And yeah, they did a lot of work. But when you know a raid inside and out, so much so that you leave the noob all the way back.
And right, okay.
I'm like, I was so lost and I'm so frustrated. And when we get to Oryx or whatever, whoever the hell we were killing. Yeah, I think it was Oryx. They're like, oh, get on this thing and get, but I had like three different people telling me what to do and not a darn one of them, you know, was telling me the exact same thing. So, yeah, you know, we're in the middle of this and we're almost done and I end up hopping on the wrong thing and we all die. And it just got so frustrating. So I was playing with another one of my friends, Mike, and I told him, I was like, next time we get asked to play, I say, you go do the raid, I'm going to go fucking play Minecraft. I'm done. And he's like, you must be really frustrated. I'm like, I am. Because I felt bad that it was my fault that we died in the last few minutes.
Those guys have put the hours in and they've learned that and they've, you know, done it and they brought you along and you just let them down.
I did.
You should feel bad.
I sucked.
Suck. So, I don't know, I have Destiny and I kind of think I've almost left it too late now. I think it's passed me by. Maybe it's just life. I don't mean life has just passed me by, but I just think investing my time and all in one big game and always going back to it is maybe,
well, it's
a challenge.
When it's a bunch of us together,
maybe,
fuck the raids. Fuck the raids. Yes, I said.
Fuck raids.
Exactly.
Okay.
But I like doing the other. I like screwing around and, well, you've seen the videos with
Nick
and Mark and Mike. I'm like, we screw around and have fun. That part is okay. The raids,
just like teenagers.
Yes, just like teenagers. The raids right now, they just left a bad taste in my mouth. I'm done with them. No comment. Stop. See?
Just like teenagers.
Okay, so you've been on the Blops as well then?
Yes.
So you've had a bit of Blops.
Yes, Blops 3. Yeah, that's actually a lot of fun. I play.
Is that multiplayer or single player?
Well, I was playing with the kids, so I don't go multiplayer live. I do the bots because I don't, I mean, my kids, they're too young to be exposed to the riffraff out there. It's different if it was like when we control the environment and we know that, you know, hey, the kids are going to be playing with us and we're all gaming as a community, that's different. But I'm not putting my kids out on multiplayer. There's too much out there for them. They're only 9 and 12, and I'm not. So we played with the bots, and my son, oh, I love him. He was like, wow.
That's good.
Well, no. I mean, no.
That's a star.
Responsible parenting.
Oh, but he's trying to be British, so it was, mummy. I was like, yes. He goes, you actually played better than me.
Dear.
Yeah, I'm like, yes, son, that happens. I've practiced
Air.
A whole lot longer.
Air. Oh, dear. Team Duke. So the last thing I see on your list there is some Minecraft, which is the thing that will never die in your household. And you're still building Greece.
Yes, and we're doing much better than the actual country.
Oh, right. Well, it's a country. When I heard you first, I thought it was like the film. I thought you were doing that, the hop and the stage and the pink ladies.
That's two E's. No, the film would be.
That's very funny you say that. Today I was at the supermarket and a car drove past me. And you know when a car drives past, they have all their windows up, but you can hear like thumping music on the inside. Yeah. This woman, two women drove past, the loudest music from Greece I have ever heard anyone play in a car.
Oh, what song? Like, song?
Which one was it?
Come on.
I think it was the one I want, the one that
Stranded
I want.
At the drive-in.
Oh, gosh.
It's brutal. Oh,
dear me. Beauty school dropout.
No, this is the country not
okay.
In
okay,
the
so you've been building Nelson's column. Big pillars.
Yes, I've been building pillars.
With
my child. No, we're all three building. We did. We started. We're working on a coliseum. We have a growing farm. We have vineyards. We have a destroyed temple so that it looks like, you know, an ancient temple. And then my daughter has decided we're going to build a Colossus statue. Yes, I'm rolling my eyes. Because okay. That looks like a lot of work.
That sounds cool.
It'll be neat. Eventually, I'll put it on Twitch where we can see. But right now, I want to get it built. Apparently, cool. Rome wasn't built in a month either because we've been working on it a while.
Yeah, Rome's in Italy. Anne Fraser, what have you been up to?
Yeah, I know, but you know what I mean.
I know.
Robin, you get slapped.
That's okay because you wrote in chat IBS, not OBS.
I did that on purpose, kid.
Yeah,
oh, said hand. Anyway, Fraser, what have you been up to, sir?
So I have been playing a couple of games. Not really been a big week for games, but I did play the Division Beta, which we've already talked about, or Beta. So that was pretty cool. I've been playing more Rise of the Tomb Raider. I am trying to make my way through that. Now, I didn't catch much scorn from my comments last week when I referred to it as Dumb Raider. But, of course, that was really just in relation to the signposting of the puzzles and things like that. So, but, I mean, it is a great game. It's fantastic.
You're a bastard. You spoiled it for me now. I played it today and I got a fucking white thing. Fucking Fraser. You know, I knew it when they were there, but I was quite happy and oblivious. But now they're bloody obvious.
Yeah.
Every time I look at those, this is the route that you have to take, a friggin' Fraser.
Yeah. Well, now I'm now catching. I can't remember how far did I get. Did I finish it? Oh, I finished it. Yeah, I think I got to the end.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And so I finished it. But now I've gone back and I'm doing the OCD, collect everything, find everything within the areas. And I'm really enjoying that. You know, there's a lot of stuff, even though you have the right stick to click and find stuff. Just the looking around and finding the little challenges that, well, first of all, finding the challenge tombs is a challenge within itself sometimes. Then doing them and then scattered around the villages, you might have hit 8 targets that are hanging up or release 8 rabbits or whatever, anyway, whatever they are. So I'm doing all that and I absolutely love that side of gaming. I was like, with Batman Arkham Knight, I went and did every Riddler trophy. I mean, I just find myself, the completionist in me, I really enjoy that side of it. So I will have a great time finishing up, tidying up.
Tell Fraser, after the Soviet base, I mean, I haven't left the Soviet base yet. I'm climbing up a big roof and I think I'm going to leave it. But is there much, much more game after that? Or am I only at the start of the game, really? Still,
are you in the are you at the Soviet base part where you go by the trains and then you go up the big scaffolding and?
I'm way up high. Yeah, way up high on this.
Yeah, that's.
But halfway.
Yeah, I think there is quite. Yeah, I'd say you're halfway. I think.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, there is quite a bit more. It's difficult. I find it difficult to tell because if probably like a lot of people, I spent ages up to that point scouring all the area and finding bits and pieces. And then once I went a little bit beyond there, then I just started to put the pedal to the metal and just powered through. And now I'm going back. Now I have all the skills. Now I have all the abilities, you know, because in the early stages, which is typical of these games, you're, how do I do that? How do I get to that bit there? And it's not for another 10 or 15 minutes you realize you can't because you don't have the attachment for the bow or whatever it is, or the right climbing spikes. So now I'm going back and trying to pick up all that. Keep plowing on. There is a wide open area later on. And I know it's not a spoiler, but it's like a city sort of place. That's
okay.
That is a brilliant level. Really, really good. So, yeah. It's it is great.
Have you played it, Nicole? Have you? Have you Tomb Raidered? Nicole?
We've lost her.
She's there.
She's gone.
No, I'm not gone. I was like,
oh,
no.
You're there.
Yeah.
Have you played Tomb Raider?
I might answer him. I might not.
No, it wasn't that. I was actually reading.
Oh, right. Okay.
The chat. Sorry. And I'm like, oh, wait, that was my name. I have played some of the Tomb Raiders. I haven't played whatever the latest one is. No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anything else, Fraser?
Yeah, we won't stop there. COD All, which is called Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. I finished that this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's done and dusted, which is great. I can flip that back out of the library because I got that on disc, so that's fine. I'm going to get rid of that. It was okay. I mean, it was like we said last week. The theater and spectacle of a Call of Duty game is all in there. It's amazing. It was great. It's probably more about the multiplayer, and then there's zombies modes in there and things like that. I'm never going to play them. I just wanted to dip my toe into the single player and see what it was all about. So
it's a big popcorn movie. It's the Die Hard. It's Armageddon. It's all of that sort of, you know, not a lot of depth to it. Bit of fun, and you had the actor that kind of threw it away a wee bit because it brought you out of character a little bit there as well.
Yeah, a little bit. Although I'll give him his. I mean, I will give him his views. The good thing about Kevin, the good thing about Kevin Spacey is he does play a good bad guy, and he pops up later on in it and he does some bad guy stuff, which is really cool. So that was good.
I thought it was again. How do you have a bad guy who's just a normal guy almost be a superhero? Because he comes to his demise in a very sort of way.
Yeah.
At the end of it all, you know, of course, I'm no spoilers. You know, the bad guy's gonna get it one way or another. But it was just like, all right, is that it?
Was a little bit of a damp squib at the end. There was but Call of Duty, you don't really have a massive boss battle. They're just not like that, right? They've never really done things like that. So
yeah, it's done halfway through with a big nuclear blast. Wasn't that COD 4? Wasn't it? There was a nuclear bomb went off. Wasn't that the beginning of the game? Anyway, I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Good fun.
So anyway, that's good. That's all done. I'm going to have to look at my notes here. What else? And then finally Duck Game, which I'm not sure I've talked about this. I sent you a copy of this, so you should definitely be able to have a go at it.
Is it on Steam?
Yeah, on Steam. Duck Game is on the surface a very simple four-player single map shooter. So basically, and they're ducks, so you are a duck. And I'm trying to think the best way to describe it is they're quick fire rounds. So basically a map would appear.
Quack fire rounds.
Yeah.
Oh!
I like it. Yes. So let's say a map will appear, and it will just be like a load of levels, and then there are a load of weapons scattered all around the map. And then the four ducks are placed, one in each corner, and then it's just go. And it's just the first one, you know, the last one standing wins. And so all these ducks, you're controlling your duck. You go in, you grab a shotgun, or if there's a grenade, you go grab a grenade, or whatever weapon you do, and you just try and kill each other. And there's no way a game lasts more than, like, 30 seconds. Anything past 30 seconds is unusual before there's only one duck left standing. And there's just quick fire, and it's the first to win 10 games. So it can go on for quite a while, but eventually someone's going to win 10 rounds. But it's just great. I just love coming back every once in a while and just think, oh, just have a quick game of Duck Game. And it just puts a massive smile on my face. There's no end of maps. There's no end of weapons. There's just, every round is just completely different, and every round you're just like, yes, or, oh, nearly got them. And because they're all ducks and there's all sorts of different headgear you can have on, it's fun. It's just unbridled fun. Yeah, and I picked that up because we've all – you've heard of Total Biscuit, right?
Yes.
The YouTuber or whatever he is. So he had that on. Yeah. That was one of his top five or top 10 games of the year. So that's how I got into it. So it comes with recommendations, comes with references. And it was like, I don't know, a few bucks on Steam. It wasn't very expensive. It doesn't look like much, but it is fun. And you can play local co-op. So my son and I have fired it up, two of us playing against two people online. You know, and if you just want to play one round, then you sit down and play for 10 minutes and then walk away again. It's good.
All right. Well, I'll have a look at that.
You should. Okay. Duck game.
Duck game. Duck game. All right. Well, something similar. Dumb Waiter. I've been playing a bit of that today again. And again, Fraser has spoiled it for me because I keep on looking at the obvious signposts that are everywhere. I was in this sort of cavern today. It was one of those ones where there was water coming down and you had to fire an arrow to get a minecart to fall off a railway track to crash through a window. And it took me a while to work it out. And I was thinking, God, last week he was saying that all these puzzles are really easy and I must be really thick. But, you know, it's fun and it's challenging in its own way. I don't think I'm playing on the hardest of level. Just normal, I think.
I was on that puzzle for quite a while, Robin, so don't feel too bad.
Oh, okay.
It
took a while to work out that you had to, and then go way up and fire ropes, and I was swinging on things and trying to work stuff out. I hadn't a flipping clue. Some Forza this week as well. Today I played another chapter of Minecraft Story Mode. It was just there. I was just sitting about the afternoon to myself, and I haven't done any more of it. So Minecraft Story Mode, it is very much kiddie, but there's an adult theme to it. I know you've played some of this, Nicole, as well.
Yep.
It's all right, but
I like
it's
it.
Not,
there's some, you know how Shrek has some hidden adult humor?
Mm. Oh, I mean, there was a fantastic joke today that actually almost had me laughing. That in the
almost.
Second chat, almost had me laughing out loud. Okay, that they had to go and find the special bomb. There was a name. It began with F, and the fantastic bomb or whatever it is. And they were going to drop the F bomb.
Yeah.
And I just and I just thought, yeah,
I know, because that's all I keep thinking is, I'm like, F-bomb, what's, I don't remember. But
drop the F-bomb. So there was a few bits and pieces like that there, and I will work my way through it. The kids have even stopped playing through it, or wanting to know about the next chapter. I think they've done the first couple. Maybe I'll have to point out to see there. So we're doing that. For me, but this week, the highlight of this week for me, it's the game of the year! and it's only a trial. And Unravel, if you are an EA Access subscriber, Unravel is available as a trial, or at least two sort of chapters or two levels of it. Unravel is a game about a very, very cute little chap. He's a little woolen guy, and there's a piece of thread behind him. It's a platform puzzler, very cute, as cute as can be. And as you walk along, a bit of the thread goes out behind you, and if you walk too far without collecting more thread, you almost turn into a little skeleton. That there's not enough yarn around you, and his name is Yarny.
It's been developed. Okay, Yarny. That's the catch, is it then? So
that's the mechanic. Yeah, nice. It's done by guys called Coldwood Interactive. The chap at E3 got up on stage and was almost in tears describing the development process of Unravel, where he was away on holidays with his family. He had no access to the internet or no access to stuff, and he had all these ideas, and they were in it was like a foresty sort of thing that you would do, Fraser, forest, cubs, tents, all that sort of stuff. And they made this little character out of wire sitting around the campfire, I don't know, and then they started to make up stories of what would happen with their little character, Yarny, and they took some photographs of the things they could be up to and the puzzles, and they went back, and that's where the inspiration for this game came, and it is absolutely enchanting. It is beautiful. One of the very first puzzles, you're tiny in the world, so you're going through the garden, and thistles are taller than you, and flowers are taller than you.
Flowers.
And to get all flowers. Fucking hell, here we go again. Jesus.
Everybody, come on, get on board.
Anyway, flowers.
The flowers.
Tea
I love flowers.
Flowers. Okay, so the thistles and flowers. There's a puddle you have to get across, and there are some apples, and an apple falls down, and you have to drag the apples over and drop them into the pond, and you use them as stepping stones. It's the first puzzle. It's a sort of a tutorial sort of level, so it's not a spoiler. The apples, the sound when they drop onto the ground, when you roll them, is gorgeous. Do you know when you drop an apple, when you're dunking for apples at Halloween or something like that, and it plops in, and you can see the water coming up over the apple, and it's just gorgeous. Well, it's just that. It is just beautiful. So the sound is great. The character is wonderful. He's going to be up there with Sackboy and all of those characters in the future. It's an instant hero, instant teddy bear, instant plushie.
Sock, not a sack.
Okay. But apart from all the look and the sound, the puzzles are great. You use your yarn to tie to a branch into another branch, and it goes taut, and you can climb up it, or you can push things up it to help solve the puzzles. You swing through the trees. Physics puzzle. I don't think there's going to be anything really, really, really crazy difficult. But if you can imagine a happy limbo, a colourful, happy limbo, you're not 100% sure what's going on, but it's lovely.
Yeah, the full game comes. Limbo was a bit dark, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it's a happy, colourful limbo, but those sorts of puzzles, those sorts of things, you have to push a thing round. The second level's called Water by the Sea, and there's things, these beautiful watery waves come splashing up, and you have to run in between waves and around, and just gorgeous. Anyway, the full game releases on the 9th, I think it's next Friday. And I'm thoroughly looking forward to the full game. I think it's captured my heart. So if you have EA access, you have no excuse. Go and try this. The first couple of levels take about half an hour. So give those a whiz. So
it's the 9th of February?
9th of Feb, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, so later on this week.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's what I've been really enjoying this week. A bit more Velocity 2X, keep on dipping in and out of it, and then Forza, which I'll chat about a wee bit later on. So that's kind of what we've been up to. A couple of new stories that sort of popped out at me. XCOM 2 has been released. I have no idea what XCOM 2 is. It's like I got an X, and it's got a COM in it. And
you don't know anything about XCOM games?
No, I haven't heard about it. Have you heard anything about it? I don't know anybody that's excited about it, you know.
Oh, right, I see.
Yeah.
Pay attention, Fraser.
Yeah, no, I do know a little bit about XCOM. Apparently they're not really good. Bad games.
Yeah, yeah. So our boss, I think he wants it because it's only coming out on PC, and his PC isn't powerful enough to run XCOM 2. And not coming out in console in the foreseeable future, so I don't know what's going to happen there. I see, all seriousness, it's getting 90 plus scores on Metacritic, and people are saying it's a fantastic second game. So anybody that's into the X-commies, that's high up in their list. I'm sure they're all playing it like mad right now. So yeah, Greg, you need some new hardware. Speak to Stu Fowler and the Veteran Gamers. He's very good with a hacksaw. I'm sure he'll help you out there upgrading your PC. Then more and more of a discussion thing, these NoFriendo people. NX is supposed to be coming out this year. I don't think it actually will. Okay, they said the handheld will. But you know, is it going to be announced? Are they going to do something on stage at E3? Or will they just do it on one of their little Nintendo Directs? You know, are they going to make a...
are they going to make a, I don't know, a big fizz about it, or is it just going to be the usual Nintendo? Okay, we are. There you are, you know?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. You think they'd have to.
Yeah.
Maybe you think they'd have to, but again, you know what? It's not a question. The Wii U was never the launch. Okay, I think everyone is in agreement that one of the major problems with the Wii U was the fact that nobody knew what the hell the Wii U was. But that isn't nobody in the industry knew what the Wii U was. It was nobody in the general public. It was rolled out to Joe Bloggs very, very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And Nintendo don't buy into this throwing thousands and haven't for a while bought into this throwing money. What I effectively think is wasted money at these shows to a point.
Yeah.
And we discussed this a little bit last week, I think. So I could see it very possible. Now I'm talking my way through this argument. I obviously haven't given it much thought before. I could see them not turning up at E3 to do much about it. You know, the focus for them should be rolling it out to the public, not rolling it out to the industry.
Yeah, part of me thinks if you had a new big system coming out, you'd be talking about it now in some way or dropping stuff left, right and center. And that's why I kind of said at the beginning of the year that it probably won't come out this year, and it sounds like only half of it's coming out this year with this handheld thing that they're talking about, whatever shape or form that is. So and part of me thinks, well, maybe they're being very clever and they're gonna just go at E3 and now it's available, there you go. But if you remember the fizz and the buzz about PS4 and Xbox One and lots of, we had these things pre-ordered for months, lots of us had anyway, new silly people like me had them pre-ordered for donkeys, and we talked about the stories of taking the day off to wait for the delivery man to come. You know, and we were tracking our parcels as they came and stuff like that there, you know.
There were some of us who were sitting back watching all that. You didn't want to know what we thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, going out to see the delivery driver and saying, oh, fantastic, it's my Xbox. He says, oh, that's what's in these boxes. Oh, my God, I've been leaving them on people's back doorsteps that haven't been there. Where have you been? Can I go back? That's part of all this thing now. You know, that buzz from the nerd population, the nerd community to talk about this. And they're either being very clever, they're just being Nintendo. And this is, you know, it'll just pop out. You know.
I'm going to go with they're being Nintendo.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, they'll waste the money in Japan.
Yeah.
Their advertising in Japan is completely different than it is here. It's like non-existent here.
It's a very much different market for Nintendo. I mean, if we on Game Punchers, we read out the Japan charts every week. And, you know, up there it's 8 out of 10 games every week will be for the 3DS.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or the Wii U. And usually it's all 3DS. You know, it's just... It's a completely different market over there for them. So,
and you're right, Nicole. All of those adverts are very different because they've got all these symbols on them. And there's not words I can read. And it's very, very different. In fact, there's that horrible earthquake that happened in Taiwan last night.
Kanji.
And watching the live news reports on it. And I know it's like Sky News or CNN. And you've got the bottom bar running across with wee bits of extra information. But they had like 30 million colors on the screen and stuff scrolling up it and across it and down it. And it's such a different culture. Just, we are such different people that side of the world. I'd love to visit Japan or Taiwan. And
Japan was so much fun. You would love it.
Yeah. Yeah. They might be able to understand me out there.
No.
No. Okay.
But you'd love it.
So, yeah, that'll all come around. E3 is coming soon, so you know it'll come before we know it, and it'll be interesting to see what the build-up is. Next, something a bit different, and I know Nicole is going to be out of here, so there's things that I want you to do here. We're going to have a list, like a good list, and we have a list of the...
Whoa, where'd you get the idea to be putting in lists like this?
Yeah. Like a good list. Well, you see, I wasn't sure whether Nicole was going to make it, and I thought, there's two sort of UK blokes here could discuss these things. So, and Nicole probably hasn't a bloody clue what a ZX Spectrum is. So this is a list by Tech Radar. So part of this, some of these stuff you'll know, Nicole, and some of these stuff that you don't know, I'm going to ask you to tell me what you think it is. Okay. So our list, and it's sort of in reverse order, going from the bottom up, was ZX Spectrum, rubber-keyed, fantastic machine that I bought when I was 12 years old, my first home computer. And it had lots of ports from other machines. It didn't have that many colors. What was it, 16? Was it 8? I don't know, 8 colors, and they all... And they all melted.
16 sounds way too many.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? But you had colors that you had to control things with the keys. It was a flat little keyboard, smaller than on a PC keyboard, and you had these things called keyboard overlays, and they were made of cardboard, and they had the what keys written on it, which buttons you had to press, and you dropped it over the little rubber keys, and you had a different one of these for each game. It was great. Anyway. At number 10, we have Boulder Dash. Do you remember a lot of these?
I played Boulder Dash.
Yeah. So it was popped over from everywhere. I loved Boulder Dash. That would be a nice game to come back again.
Yeah, that was a good old arcadey. A real game in the proper arcade style, right?
Yeah. And Horace Goes Skiing.
Ooh.
Nicole, what sort of character is Horace? Describe Horace to us, please.
Is he a little orange elephant? The guy from Dr. Seuss is all I can think of.
Horace was kind of famous. He did quite a few games, and he looked a bit like Humpty Dumpty.
Oh, the poor thing.
Yeah, and it was awful. But we went out and bought these games. At number 8, we have Lunar Jetman.
Well, Horace Goes Skiing. I was just going to say, I think Horace Goes Skiing was a god awful game. Like, it was dreadful, but it was released by Spectrum, wasn't it? It was branded by Spectrum. So it was sort of one of those games where people who were buying the computer would automatically reach for that game. It had the black packaging, you know, that was branded to go with the system. So, but god, yeah, it was shit.
Lunar Jetman, which was by probably the coolest game company at the time, which was Ultimate Play the Game, and it had this beautiful logo which was sort of metallic, and it looked far better, and the Spectrum could never ever even replicate the logo, and I think that was part of Rare Ultimate.
They're the guys, they eventually became Rare, so you know, Lunar Jetman has some real pedigree for sure. And it was one of the better games on there.
And then it was one of those things where I have no interest in football, but I always found myself playing Football Manager for some strange reason, which had really, it was stats, and you had to choose different things. And then it came up with a tiny little football pitch, and these little stick men was about with the actual match, and it had no correlation to what you were actually doing, but it was a match, and we all thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Was this Kevin Tom's Football Manager?
Football Manager by Dick Dugan. There's so many different ones.
Yeah, there was an old one by Kevin Toms. He did a Football Manager game, so he was famous because his name was on the front of it. But
we really did pay a pile of crap. We really did. I mean, that's when games were really bad. We were just happy to play anything. And, you know, Back to School is up on that list.
Back to School was great.
Was it?
Yeah, Back to School was great. It was you had to sort of cut away of a school, and your job was to, you were one of the students at the school, and it was all based throughout a school day. So the bell would go, and it would tell you what class you had to go to, and you would make your way to that class. And there were all these sort of things that you needed to do on the way. You needed to, like, hit 5 shields or use your catapult again at the back head of one of the teachers, something like that. There are all these sort of like goals to achieve or whatever to get to the end game stage. It was pretty neat.
I don't remember about Spectrum, but did it have, could you save your position? Could you, it was just, you know.
I don't think you could.
You had to play through, didn't you? And when it was off, that was it.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a save thing because it was on cassette tape. I don't think you could do that. Yeah, it was terrible. And Night Lore was a sort of 3D perspective game, like a tic tac, lots of mazes, maze running. It was the forerunner of Diablo, I suppose, and all of those things. But it was just one color. It was really like a bright purple, and you climbed through these isometric blocks. And it gave, but for me, the next one, Manic Miner, and I just adore Manic Miner. And
a
Manic
lot of people Miner, did.
It's rock hard. It's right up there as far as Super Meat Boy, as far as I'm concerned, as far as a rock hard game, pixel perfect jumping, little platformer. But then, Chucky Egg. What is Chucky Egg? We all love Chucky Egg.
Yeah, well, it was sort of like, again, like a Manic Miner sort of clone type thing, wasn't it? But it was a lot faster.
It was more Mario-like or Donkey Kong, bit of a mix and all there. And it had a great noise because you whizzed around after those little eggs and those great noisy sounds. And the Spectrum didn't have any proper sounds. It sort of went...
Yeah, that's as good as it got.
That was as good as it got. And then the old Google R-Type...
Never played it.
Oh, wow. Bullet Hell Shooter. Not Spectrum's not the place to play it, but fantastic Bullet Hell Shooter. And amazingly, at number one, the best game they have rated there is Elite. Way back in the early 80s, Elite. And it actually made its way to a ZX Spectrum. And it was just wireframe graphics, like the old BBC Micro and Commodore 64 and the Amstrads of those days. And it was amazing that it even run on that. Poor old Spectrum, I miss it. I've got one behind me here. I've actually got a ZX81 as well. I love my old Spectrum, and that's what introduced me to gaming way back in all those old days. Anyway, that's me waxing lyrical about old stuff. Sorry, Nicole, because that
was... I'll tell you what's missing off that list. Bruce Lee should be on that list. That was my first one. Bruce Lee and Starquake were my two favourite Spectrum games.
Starquake was brilliant, wasn't it?
Starquake was unbelievably good.
Starquake, and there was this fantastic developer name. Was it Bunderbund? The developer names like Borderbund and
Broderbund.
Broderbund and all those games and all those developer names. It was just brilliant. And you just lived for those, and you know, Attack of the Mutant Camels and Llamas and Jeff Minter and getting your ZX Spectrum magazine with 10 pages of code that you had to enter and try to make something happen. And it would never work. You'd spend like all day typing in this code and it wouldn't run. And yeah, they would try and debug it. And those were the days.
Good times.
Great. Anyway, Jason Johnson has sent us in some trivia. Our ongoing quiz. The scores on the doors, I believe Mark Alex is in the lead and everybody else has one. And I have zero. But there you go. So, pens at the ready, horns at the ready, or any other device that you want to distinguish a right or wrong answer. This is a true or false question. And the question is, you can play as Decepticons in Transformers Devastation. You can play as Decepticons in Transformers Devastation. Is that true, false, or something else?
Yeah, y'all got to see my paper.
Okay. And let's go.
Hang on, I haven't written it down. Can I just say?
Yeah, you can say.
False.
And let me see your hand, please, Nicole. Shoot the hand.
I have no idea.
True. And it's false. Yeah. Sorry, Nicole. Oh, you cannot play as a Decepticon. No Decepticons.
Yeah, but look. My race. See? Spit on it. Next time I use beer.
And the last and second question. The second one. Here we go. Which real-time strategy had an N64 release? Which real-time strategy game had an N64 release? Was it Warcraft 3? Age of Empires, Magic and Mayhem, or Command and Conquer? Warcraft 3, Age of Empires, Magic and Mayhem, Command and Conquer.
Jim Fraser, your eyes got so big.
So which one of those could you play on the N64?
Do we have time?
And they're writing things down on paper.
No, I was writing it on my hand. No, say it again one more time real quick.
What are you going to write it down?
On my hand.
Oh, no, okay. Warcraft 3, Age of Empires, Magic and Mayhem, or Command and Conquer? Gotta hurry ya. 3, 2, 1, Fraser.
Yeah, that didn't help.
3, 2, 1. Nicole.
Yeah, I said the one above it. That'd be C.
I can't see. All I can see is the thumb. C? You said Magic and Mayhem. And Fraser, what are you saying?
Command and Conquer.
Where is he?
Yeah.
Sorry. I wasn't looking. D, Command and Conquer. You're absolutely correct.
Yes.
Fraser, believe it or not, you are leading the trivia quiz for 2016 on 2 points, joint with Mark Annex. Congratulations. We're overachievers.
Yeah, see, I kept going back and forth on those two.
Oh, good.
Command and Conquer and the Magic.
Command and Conquer was great. I loved it, Command and Conquer. And it was Red Alert, Command and Conquer Red Alert. And there was the FMV cutscenes with the really hammy acting, but that was brilliant.
Hammy acting.
And then you had the Tiberian Sun. Was it Tiberian Wars or Tiberian? Yeah, it was good. Those are good games. But then again, then as they progressed, the StarCraft and things like that, they got more and more complex. Well, Command and Conquer was just fire a load of tanks over that way. But we'll maybe get our fix with Halo Wars later in the year. Anyway, thanks very much, Jason Johnson, for our trivia. And it'll be interesting to see if one of us guys wins a nice T-shirt and flights to LA to meet Greg. Thanks, Greg. You're very generous. So we've got some new releases for the 7th to the 12th of February. Would one of you guys like to talk about what the new releases are? I have marked some in red, which I think are interesting. If you just want to
talk about the triple red asterisk
the goal.
Yeah. Mm. I'll read.
You know, far away.
Okay.
All right.
What we got?
Go on, Nick.
What? All right, the new releases for the 7th through the 12th? I have no idea what that is. Either that or Alex Heine.
I like that better.
Alex Heine's gun for pretty much everything. And then Arslan, Warriors of Legend.
Also. Arslan.
Yes, except that my cursor's in front of it. Assassin's Creed Chronicles Russia. That does look interesting.
Yeah, I think it's coming out. It's the third one. So they've done, the first one I think was China, and then the next one was India, and this is Russia. And it sounds like they're releasing Russia with the other two as well.
It says the trilogy pack.
Yeah. Natras, Richard, he loves these.
He did. He had him as Game of the Year or something, didn't he? One of them. In his top five or something.
And yeah, when I was listening to the Boss Wave earlier on in the week there, it sort of thought, oh, I'm going to go out and buy those or buy it. But now that I see the trilogy pack, I'm going to wait and I'll maybe buy them later on in the year, probably when they get cheap and cheerful.
And then The Dying Light, the following expansion and enhanced edition.
So, and that's supposed to be massive. Yeah, it's supposed to be massive. It's supposed to be as big as the main game, and now with vehicle support and a whole pile of other stuff.
Really?
People rave. Yeah. So I have that behind me. I'm going to play it. You played it, didn't you, Fraser?
I did. I lost steam with it.
No.
Probably about 3/4 of the way through. But what I did play, I enjoyed. It was good. It's really well done. It's a really good game.
Oh.
All right.
Did you like
that? Bit scary there for me. Sorry. Cool. I caught some of that, but okay. But you were cheating, I believe, Fraser, in that game.
And yeah, that's following me to my grave, unfortunately. maybe a shout out to Verbal Rob, who flat out asked me on Twitter this week how many games I've cheated on recently.
Oh!
I should never have opened my mouth in the first place, but there you go. So, game the game.
All right, so continuing on for February 9th, Firewatch.
A lot of buzz about Firewatch.
Yeah, that's for PlayStation, PC, Mac, and Linux. So no Xbox on that. And then Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time. Seriously?
Yeah, that's supposed to be good.
Yeah, it's a weird little bright, colorful sort of spacey co-op game. I seen it at E3 year before, or sorry, EGX year before last, and it's on Xbox. And I know that Amorous and a few other guys rave about it, and I think Hardy Dan as well.
Those aren't references.
No, but it does look cute. It looks interesting enough. But the name is
likes
fantastic.
It. Proceed with caution.
Yeah. As you'll see later. Okay, and carrying on.
Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 4.
Naruto. Okay.
Do that. What? Yes? Guess what? Neverwinter Underdark. And Unravel.
Yeah, what's that space? Unravel.
Kim talked about Unravel. And then you got to play a little bit of it, and you liked it. I'm interested in it, but it still has that Nintendo Yoshi yarn game feel to me.
Nah, it's a lot more difficult.
Okay.
Sort of that, yeah.
Because that was the only reason I was skeptical.
It's not that kind of cutesy. Okay. That's my problem with the Nintendo stuff. It's very
cutesy.
Yeah, soft cutesy. Yeah, this is a lot more about feelings, where that's about being cute, you know?
If it has a little more dimension to it as far as the game goes,
yeah,
not trying to be adorable, then I'm probably not likely to play it.
No, the world is adorable, the character's adorable, but it is still a puzzle platformer.
It makes you think.
Yeah, yeah. There's the Clash of Clans stuff in Boom Beach. Are you still playing Boom Beach, Nicole? Is that still going?
I actually gave the reins over to Rubbish Username.
Okay.
So he's now in charge of Boom Beach. I still play it, but he's in charge of it. It's just with working at school every day, and I come home and I'm exhausted. I can't play while I'm in school. I have children to teach. And after school, I'm so wiped out that I don't even, I can't even look straight. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I keep on dipping into the Clash of Clans thing, and there's a war going on at the moment, and it's still going strong. There's still a big, big group of us there.
I check into Clash every once in a while, too.
But I'm ready for something new.
Yeah.
And that
it's
thing.
Time. I think.
Yeah. Okay. So the Forza 6 Loopies Mini Cooper League. Finished there this week. We had a fantastic race around Yas Marina, and the results are in. We went into the last round, and Wudan and myself were on level pegging after three rounds, and Wudan pipped it. He drove a fantastic two races on Wednesday evening, and I just couldn't get anywhere near him. And the championship ended up with Wudan in first place, myself in second, and Ginger in a third there in the pros class. And in the amateurs class...
Well done, Robin.
Thank you very much. Three wins against those guys was... I'm well pleased with that. Really am pleased. And the amateur section of the AMS, you had Psycho Womble. He wrapped that up. Parsnip somehow or another managed second, and our own Greg DeLacy Murphy's Law had a very, very respectable third in the championship.
Good Lord, anybody would have stood a chance in there then, eh?
Really brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, I give him a bit of coaching the week before last as well. I don't know if that helped him or hindered him, but it was great. It was good fun, and thanks to the Henwood for organizing that. February time is IndyCar time. Not my favorite thing, but Wednesdays between 9 and 11 GMT, they'll be racing IndyCars, and there's a whole IndyCar championship. And also, there's another one starting, which is the big fancy Le Mans style cars called WEC. And it's going to happen just once a month, the first Monday of each month. And you can sign up with at the Henwood or at ParsnipNose3000, and they'll get you all signed up and join in with the fun, because it is fun. It's, and it doesn't matter how good or how bad you are. If you've got fours or six, come on, it's great crack. You know, 15, 20 people racing. Yeah, brilliant. Good fun. Okay. Fraser, let's see if you've done it better this week than you did last week. We Are Epic, please.
We Are Epic is 30 seconds of cool video could change your life. And you could win $20 of gaming bucks. Now,
Are you reading that out?
I'm not really sort of familiar with the We Are Epic thing. I'm better on the Victory Achieved, actually. But as far as I know about the We Are Epic is take a video somehow of you doing something amazing within a video game.
That's very good. That's really badly.
Put it in one of those plastic tubes and send it up into the interwebs.
Can you do that sound again? Because that was awesome.
Oh, dear. That's just a rectal exam there. It was just terrible.
It's funny you say that, actually. I'm telling you, I had to see a nurse today. So I was examined, just so you know, but not up my bum.
Oh.
It's just blood work. And my blood pressure is good. So there you go. And I did a urine sample too. There you go.
Oh,
thanks for sharing.
That's nice.
So glad you're not sharing that on an Epic video.
What are you gonna do?
Okay.
Hey, whoa, easy. I got this. So anyway, you upload a video and you post it to the Facebook page, epic.g4te.com, or you can send a link to everybody's favorite We Are Epic video collector, bongo@g4te.com. Bongo, he'll get that video, he'll post it up there. I don't know, people vote on it, I guess. I'm not sure how that works. And the winner will get $20.
That's pretty much what it is. So something funny, something skillful, or something glitchy, and send it up there. Hey, Nicole, is there anybody in the chat tonight?
Oh, there was lots of people in the chat.
Are they chatting?
They kind of are chatting.
What are they chatting about, Nicole?
You know who's in there? Chapstick.
Wow.
Chapstick! G'day, mate.
We hadn't had him in forever.
G'day, mate.
I miss him. Lovely. And then RCGC, Soul Brother. Mm-hmm. And the Boss Man was in there.
Oh, he's out getting pissed.
What?
Yeah, I was speaking to Chris MJW earlier on. He's way out to get pissed. He wasn't making up. He couldn't make up his mind, but then he decided he was going to go and get pissed. Get pissed! Yeah. Okay, and then we have got Victory Achieved. Victory. Would you like to take the Victory Achieved, Nicole? And you take the first bit, and I'll take the second bit.
I don't know what the first bit is, but I'll just start with reading that little paragraph.
Okay, you do that.
And I can even do that. Victory is achieved. Greg's never going to live that day.
What is all that about? How much in depth have we discussed that?
That's disgusting, but anyway.
The victory achieved thing.
What do you mean? Victory achieved.
Yeah, I don't know what all that is. Weird.
It was a sound effect. It was donkeys ago. It must have been 6 or 8 months ago. And I think Mark that night was running sound effects in the background. And we didn't have one for Victories Achieved. So Greg said that he was going to do the sound effects. And that was what it was. So now it's been captured and it now is played every now and again.
Now it's a bad joke. Sorry, Greg.
Yeah. Wow. It's like flowers.
A moment of madness.
I know.
Yeah.
So back to our Victories Achieved. We have this cute little contest, Victories Achieved contest on Twitter. You go play a game, let those credits roll, snap a selfie. Please keep it appropriate, because trust me, I don't want to see anything you got. So send that along with the title of the game. You can find us at g4t.com, spell out the dot, on Twitter. Our contest is running from the 1st of January all the way to the end of March on the 31st. You can win some space bucks, as we like to call them, $20 or £15 for your PSN, Xbox, or the Steams, as we call them. So, yeah, that would be you now, huh, Robin?
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay.
You said the second half.
Well, sorry, there's three halves then.
Oh, so third.
So, yeah, so who victories achieved this week, Nicole?
Oh, that would be Amherst 89 with his Clockwork Tales of Glass and Ink.
Yeah, okay.
RCGC, Sarah, The Order, 1886. And again, Grimfit, I'm just going to go through the list of all the games
uh-huh.
he did.
Yeah, she done. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you've got to have some opinions there. Don't Amherst. Okay, I don't know what that Clockwork. Hang on a second. Yeah. Wasn't that on there before?
Nah.
No.
Yeah, it was some other shit thing they did.
Order 1886. Oof.
No, I haven't even tried that game. I would like to still. Is it that bad?
It'll not take long. 15, 20 minutes. You'll be all right.
Oh, so, but hey, then I need to get that game because I have about 15, 20 minutes.
Do you know what? I hear it's gorgeous to look at, but the game is more like there's not a lot of gameplay.
Is it a lot of jump scare type crap? I guess I could ask RCGC.
What, the Order? No, it's not. There's like literally one jump scare in it. It's just an odd way. It has a lot going for it. It also does not have a lot going for it. And by that, I mean it has a lot missing out of it.
So wait till it's free. What
yeah.
you're saying?
Think Prose for the Order 1886. It looks amazing. It's got stories and characters that you really, really can buy into. But the game is just lacking in gameplay.
Is it better than Pony Island?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so next, also in that category, Grim Fandango Remastered, Metro 2033 Redux. What the hell is that? Sounds like something you would, you know.
Those are good games.
Yeah, those are brutal. Really good.
It still sounds like something you should be lifting weights with. Wolfenstein.
No, Wolfenstein!
The Old Blood. And Need for Speed. That was a lot of gaming.
Yeah, let me explain. Sarah contacted me earlier on in the week. And she said, look, I would love to put some entries in. But do these qualify? And I said, well, yeah, look, as long as you've played them. Between January and March of this year, and it's legitimate, you can put your entries in, and they all applied, so they all came through one after another. So fair play to you, Sarah, good girl.
If you're gonna wait and do it that's cool. I would, that way you can get a whole bunch of them in there all at once. So Chris MJW did Wolfenstein the New Order.
Wolfenstein!
Oh my god, you people. Caliburn M, South Park, The Stick of Truth.
I've been trying to buy that this week, and it's failed several times. I've been trying to buy the 360 version. The
game fails.
Because I never... No, it's just the sale, but I don't know. It's on the Xbox One store, but you can't buy it from the Xbox One store. And when you go online, it's failed. I tried it again last night, because I never finished it, and people still rave about how good it is. And I can't imagine it looking any worse today. I mean, it was those cartoony graphics. It looks like South Park, so I want to play it. I want to play South Park Stick of Truth.
You never played it at all?
I played half an hour of it.
Oh.
And the too many kids were around me, and
yeah,
there was too many bum jokes, yeah, arse jokes.
Yes, yes.
But where's my chipotle pants? Yeah, and all that. Anyway, sorry, we interrupted you again.
Real Kahuna, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Pebbles, 91 Journal. I have no idea what that is.
Do you know what?
Is that a Nintendo game?
You know who Pebbles is?
Yeah, that's Courtney. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Courtney.
Now, is Pebbles, is that not Amorous's better half?
Yes, and trust me, better.
So okay, yeah. But Amras is rubbing off on Pebbles. So now she's playing those Journal? What's Journal?
I will Facebook her and ask.
I think you know what? I've got a feeling I have played Journal.
Look in your journal to see if you played Journal.
I can tell you. I'll tell you what. I can come back to you on that one.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll take a rain check.
And Mr. Miyagi, 1984, Knights of the Old Republic, the Sith Lords.
Oh, wow.
Arcanics, Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls.
Yes. I have played Journal. I have played 109 minutes of Journal.
And it was so memorable. He remembered that whole 109 minutes.
Well, I'll tell you what, if I've played 109 minutes, wait a second. That's been left running for cards. There's no way I played 109 minutes of that game. Right. Yeah, it's definitely got some charm. I do remember it. It's definitely got some charm, but it wasn't my cup of tea at all.
Mm. Okay.
And the final
It'd definitely be in the Lever household. Good Lord, they would love that sort of crap.
Last but
no offense, Pebbles.
Not least, Infected Psych, Grow Home.
Okay, so that's quite a lot this week. I'm running a completion chart this year, and at the end of the year, the person or persons that has finished the most games are going to win a nice T-shirt and a customized mug. And at the top of the completion chart this week, we have Amras on 7 completions this year. Sarah, RCGC, has shot up with 5 completions after this week. Companion Cube on 4. Colin FTW for the win on 3. And Calumburn on 3. And there's lots of other entries there as well. There's going to be a bit of a change next week.
We don't like to change.
And I don't like to, and I don't like to make victory achieved too complicated. So if you finish a game, it doesn't matter what it is, if it's Journal or Pony Island, you get entered into the 3-month draw. Yeah, that's fine and dandy. That's never going to change. For the completion chart, because there are prizes at the end of it, I do have to make a bit of a difference. So you'll get a full point if you finish a AAA game or a big, big downloadable game like Ori and the Blind Forest or something like that. Smaller games, which you finish in a couple of hours, 1 or 2 hours, and we'll do it on a case-by-case basis, you will get half a point for the completion chart. So that will be a large DLC or a small game like Journal or Pony Island or something like that. So I think by the looks of it, Amras will finish the year with 1,000 games played and 3 hours of gameplay. So it's not complicated. You don't have to think about it. Keep on sending in your victories achieved. They'll be entered into the draw. The completion chart is just something a wee bit extra, and we'll work it out as we go along. Okay. So that's all of those things done. And I suppose we can start to wrap things up a wee bit here now. So please watch us live on Twitch if you're there right now. And who's there right now, Nicole? Can you... Is there anybody in there now just so we can goodbye to them and hello to them and give them some shout-outs?
Oh, my goodness.
So every week we go out there on live, and it's about 11 o'clock GMT. It's about 4 o'clock West Coast time and whatever you are there, Nicole. Please watch us live. It's join in with the chat and a bit of feedback. It's lovely to get there.
Mine's supposed to start at 5 Central.
5 Central. And who's been in there tonight? Who's anybody left?
Bert Hab, Kit Arnold, RCGC, Soul Brother, Teflon, and then we had the ones from earlier that we've already mentioned. So
fabulous. Okay, so and you can email the show at podcast@g4te.com. Please send us an email. Tweet us at @OC_podcast. We have a Facebook group. You can throw us some money for our prize fund. That's all it's used for, just for prizes. It's not used for anything else. Leave us a review if you can, and that would be lovely to do that. It would be nice to give us a wee review. It always helps get the word out about the podcast. That's almost a show. Nicole, would you like to shout out anybody tonight and give people your gamer tag and Twitter, please?
I will. I have a list, so I have to scroll. You can find me on Twitter at @OC_Amaryllis, and it's AmaryllIs. Gamer tag is Amaranth, also with the H. And on PlayStation, it is Amaryllis. And I wanted to wish a happy birthday to my cousin Neil in Scotland, my mum, who turned the big 70. God bless her. And shout out to my dad, who is in rehab, a physical rehab, not drug rehab, people.
Yeah, I keep on thinking of that girl.
No, because he had they thought he had spinal meningitis. So he had screwed up his back and his legs and nerves and all this other stuff. So
that's not that. That's great news that it's not.
No, it is great news that it is not. So, and a shout out to Kim and Greg, who are both got the crud, not from each other. just so Greg's wife knows, not from each other. Special thoughts for Mark and Jenny, and lots of love. And shout out to those of our friends in the chat and our listeners, because without them, we wouldn't be here. And a shout out to you guys. So thank you very much. Fraser, because you look busy.
I am busy. Yeah, I would like to give a shout out to myself, because while I've been podcasting, I've actually managed to repair a set of headphones because I tripped over them and yanked the cable out of the male part of the socket, the plug, ripped that right off.
A little bit.
You know, like the way you plug it into the thing, right?
The male bit, the penis
bit. The plug. Right?
It's so the male end. It is a male
end. The male end, the male audio jack, right? The plug.
Yeah, baby.
I tripped over it and I ripped it out and I threw the headphones in disgust. I think I blamed the children, but really it was my fault. And then I was hunting around and I was like, oh, God, I'm going to dole out another $40 for a set of headphones or whatever. And then I just thought, you know what, I'll just buy a replacement jack, which I did today for a couple of bucks, and there we go, a bit of soldering and we're done. Save myself some money.
So handy.
What a I'm pleased as punch. Good. I like it when
fix my truck
stuff.
No.
Yeah, I don't do trucks.
I can, I just don't want to.
Yeah, it depends what it is, obviously. So yeah, so it's always good to fix something, people. Remember, recycle, reuse, there's another R, I can't remember what it is, my kids know. And I'll also give a shout out to Robin. Shout out to you, Nick, as well, for podcasting. It's very good to see you. But Robin, for coming on and doing the technical support with me last night and taking my call as we tried to sort out some quirks with the console sharing.
I got a bed for you, man. I was on a promise last night, and you ruined it when I went back upstairs. Judith just wasn't. She's just snoring.
No pizza for Robin.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, I'm the same age as Robin, so I know that he's absolutely full of shit.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right. There's cobwebs on that thing.
Everybody knows we try and get our pizzas in the morning.
Oh, look at that. You got them all coughing and choking up.
Dear me. Oh, goodness. Okay, well, look. I'm going to shout at a couple of people too, and I'm repeating on myself somewhere or another.
Yeah.
How's that happening?
That's Greg's come back online.
Ah, that's what Greg's got, the OBS. Mute yourself, buddy. I want to shout out Greg and his family and get well soon. I want to shout out Mark and Jenny. Lots of love today. Big hugs, guys. Thinking of yous. Briefly, I want to shout out Dastardly Jabby, Chris, and Neil Real Kahuna, who have also really enjoyed Unravel too. News guys, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Helping me out.
Well done, Robin. You're doing all right on this hosting bit, aren't you?
Yeah.
And no mics were harmed.
Mics were harmed. Frig off, Mark. So you'll get me at Bongo the Scene. Yeah, at Bongo the Scene. You'll get me on Twitter. You'll get me at Bongo the Scene or Bongo the Scene on pretty much everything else. So, yeah, check me out. Guys, thank you very, very much for listening. Next week, hopefully, we'll have Greg back again. And I hope you have a wonderful and safe gaming week. Goodbye, everybody.
Hello.
Oh, man.